Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press, the national weekly newspaper from Washington. Well, we are not going to have a guest tonight, but I have quite a few things I want to run by you, little bits and pieces that I picked up in various and sundry publications and on the Internet and, you know, all sorts of places. Basically, what I want to do is expound, I guess, here, and then we'll let you come in on the caller line and expound yourself. Our number, of course, is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. I am going to be yakking here for a few minutes, so you might want to wait a little bit unless you want to hang on the phone. But first of all, I want to say congratulations to Stan and Judy. They know who they are, and I hope one or both of them are listening tonight, one or the other, or maybe both, as I say. They just got married. Probably going to be having Judy on the show sometime here soon, and hey, maybe both Stan and Judy, so congratulations. I want to mention, too, that I've been in touch with Tom White from the America First Party. He called in last week in response. We had a chat with him, and then I asked him to call in again, but I want to have him for a full hour, so all things being equal, Tom will be the guest tomorrow night. And, in fact, I'm glad I can get him on tomorrow night because, as I say, there were just so many things that came across my desk, things I saw in the paper, that I just wanted to comment on them. Okay, first of all, there was a man murdered in Dublin, a man by the name of Dennis Donaldson. He was shot to death. Now, why this is interesting, Mr. Donaldson was a former official in the Irish group Sinn Féin, which is the political wing of the Irish Republican Army. Now, being an old-line Irishman, in part, I've always been a fan of the IRA and a bit of a critic of the British Empire, to be completely honest here, folks. Normally, I hate to see an Irishman get shot down, but in this case, it turns out that Mr. Donaldson admitted in December that he had been on the payroll of the British Secret Service and his Irish province's anti-terrorist police for 20 years. He went into hiding after that because the Irish Republican Army has traditionally killed known informants. Well, the IRA denies involvement in the assassination, but what I find significant about it is a lesson that can be learned here for American patriots. This is a guy who had been a top figure in the Sinn Féin political party, but unbeknownst to his friends and allies, he was reporting back to British intelligence for 20 years. Now, over the years, folks, I've spotted a few Judas goats of this type within our movement, our patriotic movement here in America, and I've, for the most part, kept quiet because it's very difficult to say something unless you really know it or unless you have some real strong evidence in that regard. But, you know, in the case of the Oklahoma City bombing, some real Judas goats were unmasked, such as Andreas Strassmeier, the enigmatic German immigrant who was evidently was most certainly an informant for Morris D's Southern Poverty Law Center. And I, of course, was one of the first people to continue to insist that he was an informant, and I also dared to suggest that his attorney and close friend, Kirk Lyons, was likewise. Now, of course, Mr. Lyons denies that, but in light of their legal and personal association, I think I've been pretty much vindicated. John Cash, writing in the McCurtain Daily Gazette, has basically laid out the facts. Well, we have the break coming up here. A few more comments on that and a lot, lot more when I come back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. on RBNLive.com and on shortwave at 5.050.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Michael Collins Piper here. We have open phones tonight, as I said, but I'm going to be yakking away here for the next few minutes, kind of bringing you up to date, or at least giving me a chance to expound on some things that I saw in reading of various and sundry items today. Before the break, I was commenting about the fact that for 20 years, a former top official in the Irish Republican Party's or the Irish Republican Army's political wing was actually an informant on the payroll of the British Secret Service, and finally someone popped him off. I can't say I'm going to shed any tears for him, but be that as it may, I said that what we could learn as American patriots is that there are agents of government intelligence agencies and private spy organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League at work inside our own movement. For several years, I knew Roy Edward Bullock, the now infamous ADL spy, fairly well. I met him five or six times when he came to Washington, D.C., ate at a couple banquets with him, had lunch and dinner with him on a number of occasions, and I am pleased to say that I am the first person to ever put in writing the allegation that Roy Bullock was an ADL agent. I had suspected it. I mentioned it to my boss at the time at the Liberty Lobby, Willis Cardo, and he said, yes, Roy Bullock is an ADL agent. Consequently, I wrote about that in the spotlight. Mr. Bullock denied it and said he denied it on a stack of Mein Kampfs, as he told me. And he threatened to sue, but he never did. Well, 6 or 7 years later, the whole ADL spy scandal broke in San Francisco, and lo and behold, it was Roy Bullock. I I've written quite extensively about that subject in a new book that I'm wrapping up right now. You'll hear more about that when the book is finally back from the printer, God willing. In any case, I mentioned the fact that the Southern Poverty Law Center, thanks to the work of John Cash and the McCurtain Daily Gazette, they have proved conclusively, in fact, to the satisfaction of a federal judge, that there was, in fact, an informant for the Southern Poverty Law Center inside Elohim City in Arkansas. And, of course, there's no question about it. It was Andreas Strassmeyer, and I was certain for years that Mr. Strassmeyer's close friend and attorney, Kirk Lyons, was, in fact, let's put it this way, he was not what he claimed to be. And I've been widely criticized for that. There's some people today who swear up and down that Mr. Lyons is just your old-fashioned American patriot, but you know what? I don't believe it. I think the evidence has come around to prove it. But be that as it may, we do have to keep an eye out, because just because someone says the right things and does the right things, you know, it doesn't always mean they are what they say they are. And I'll tell you what, there's another good example of someone who, you know, by their fruits ye shall know them. Years ago, Pat Robertson set up the Christian Coalition, and one of his henchmen in that was this guy, Ralph Reed, who's now running for lieutenant governor of Georgia. Well, Mr. Reed has gotten himself caught up in the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal, but, you know, for years, Mr. Reed, you know, was criticizing Red China, and not that they shouldn't be criticized, and he was against the favorable trade status for China. Well, This week in The Nation magazine, which is kind of a left-wing populist-type publication, they have a lot of good things in this magazine, some other things I don't agree with, but they have a very interesting profile of Ralph Reed, and they point out that that in 1998, Reed suddenly popped up supporting favorable trade status for China. This is a reversal of his previous position, and he was saying that this would now benefit efforts to spread the gospel in China. And he set up a group called the Alliance of Christian Missionaries in China. Well, listen to this. This is directly from The Nation. The alliance turned out to be an empty shell serving the interests of Reed clients, including Boeing, which hoped to sell $120 billion worth of airplanes to China. What a crook. What a liar. What a deceiver. And, of course, this man has been rewarded for his work with Pat Robertson, Ralph Reed. As my colleague at American Free Press, Jim Tucker, revealed a few years ago, Ralph Reed got invited to the super-secret Dolderberg meeting. Ralph Reed may be this wonderful Christian conservative, as many people think he is, you know, fighting for quote-unquote family values, but he's also got his connections to the Zionist movement. He's above and beyond to the Bilderberg group. This is the kind of man who we've been told for years is just fine and dandy as a Christian American leader. Well, far from it. It's amazing. What's amazing to me is that despite all this that's been coming about his sharp business practices and his association with Jack Abramoff, the Christian Coalition chair, Sadie Fields, told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he stood for our issues. He's not wavered. Well, okay, I'm glad they feel that way about him, but the more I hear about Ralph Reed, the more I dislike him. You know, and his boss, Pat Robertson, you know, people called in here and talked about how, on this program, people talked about how, you know, we should work with other groups and so forth. And I pointed out that Liberty Lobby and American Free Press have tried to build coalitions with different groups that don't all, and other organizations and newspapers and publications that don't always share that point of view on every issue. But, you know, I'll tell you what was so revealing and so glaring to me was back many years ago, Pat Robertson held up a copy of The Spotlight on his publication, or on his television broadcast, and said, "Many good patriots read this newspaper, but I'm here to tell you that it's a very evil publication. It's an enemy of our good friends in Israel, and I do not recommend this publication at all." Well, you know what happened, folks? This is what's so amazing. after Pat Robertson made that pronouncement, presumably channeled from God, the Spotlight lost over 2,000 subscribers who canceled their subscriptions on the spot in response to Pat Robertson's single statement on that program at that time. Now, that's political clout, folks. 2,000 people just up and canceled their subscriptions because of what Pat Robertson did. And here's the amazing thing about it, folks. After Robertson did that, we had an editorial in the Spotlight, you know, denouncing Robertson for denouncing us. And we got more cancellations from angry people who said, how dare you denounce Pat Robertson? He's a good Christian American. Now, folks, think about the ramifications of that. They were allowed to attack the Spotlight. He was allowed to attack the Spotlight, but we couldn't respond in kind. I mean, this is frightening. This is this says a lot about how people like Pat Robertson do develop a cult following, and that's something we've got to avoid in this patriot movement, because there's no one single leader or statesman or spokesman. You know, everybody, as I said to Bob from Texas, who calls in here periodically and seemed to be upset about something I had said, of which still remains a mystery to me, but like I told Bob, you know, we all have something to contribute, but there was somebody named Pat Robertson who was trying to, you know, tell Americans, and particularly Christian Americans in the Patriot Movement, what they should and should not read. And speaking of these phonies in the Patriot Movement, I was given a copy today of a letter from a group called Young America's Foundation. It's a conservative group that was loosely affiliated with the Young Americans for Freedom, of which I was once a member many, many years ago. And the letter has gone out. It says, "Dear concerned American, leftist activists are using your tax dollars to fund a campaign to impeach George Bush. These radicals must be stopped before they cause serious damage to our nation and our president." And it goes on and on to suggest that people who don't like George Bush are all radical leftists. Well, you know, I was looking again at the wonderful website of the America First Party at AmericaFirstParty.org, and, you know, I see on there, unless I read it incorrectly, that the America First Party has passed a resolution calling for the impeachment of George W. Bush. So Young America's Foundation is either misleading us deliberately or by accident, because there's more than just quote-unquote leftist activists who are interested in impeaching George W. Bush. And I got a letter from a regular correspondent who constantly demands to know why I don't mention something or another. Well, you know, as much as there is to mention in this world, I find it absolutely impossible to mention everything that is going through the minds of the listeners. But this correspondent says, "Why won't you talk about Larry Flint's million-dollar bounty to find out the real killers of John F. Kennedy, the real killers of John F. Kennedy?" And he also says, "Who shot Flint? Why doesn't Flint want a trial to find out who shot him?" Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that a very good friend of mine has just completed an extended manuscript about the attempted assassination of Larry Flint, and I'm going to try to have him on the show one evening, because that's an interesting story and probably one that should be answered. My correspondent also asks, "For the sake of a free flow of information," he says, "are you a card-carrying ACLU member?" Well, I am not now, nor have I ever been, a member of the American Civil Liberties Union. The American Civil Liberties Union has done some good things on the issue of freedom of speech. But then again, there's a lot of other things that I don't like about the ACLU. I've only ever actually been a card-carrying member, I believe, of Liberty Lobby. We have a break coming up. I talked a lot more than I realized, and I'm going to keep talking, folks. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm here in Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press Newspaper. Stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Welcome back to the Republic Broadcasting Network here on RBNLive.com and on the shortwave at 5.050. This is Michael Collins Piper, and I'm just going through the file here today and commenting on some things that were of interest to me, and I hope they'll be of interest to you. I was on at before the break. I was responding to a question from one of my inveterate letter writers who wants to know whether I'm a card-carrying member of the American Civil Liberties Union. And I said that I've very seldom been a card-carrying member of anything. I was I did have a card for membership in the Populist Party, but I was later criticized for not having actually paid my dues but still carrying that card. Of course, the fact that I didn't pay the dues doesn't include the fact that I spent many, many endless hours working on behalf of the Populist Party only to see it go down the tubes thanks to the antics of Judas Goats within the party. But be that as it may, I was a card-carrying member of the Populist Party. I have been both a registered Republican and a registered Democrat. I registered Democratic to vote for Jim Traficant when he was running for president in the Democratic primaries in 1988. Jim Traficant, a very good man. We all know what happened to him and where he is today. And I was also a card-carrying member of the Mencken Society. That's a group founded in Baltimore to commemorate the works and life and writings of the late H.L. Mencken, who is probably my favorite writer. And if you're not familiar with H.L. Mencken's writings, I suggest you check them out. And yes, as a matter of fact, guess what? Mencken's been called anti-Semitic, too. But then, isn't everybody? Isn't everybody? Quite a few other little things here to point out. Just found out today that everybody's heard of Benedict Arnold, the infamous traitor. Well, People magazine, back in January 30th, 1989, published a little item about the family connections of the Bush family. And guess what? It turns out that Benedict Arnold is a fourth cousin, seven times removed, of the former President Bush, which makes him some sort of cousin, I don't know how many times removed, from our current president, George W. Bush. So it appears as though there is a tradition of being a traitor in the Bush family connection. Speaking of Bush and his traitorous activities, that number of people dying in Iraq continues to grow. You know, my temptation is to read the names daily of those who are dying because they are being forgotten as soon as they put them in the ground. And, of course, Bush has left this mess for his successor. But then again, we're assuming there will be elections in 2008 and that Bush will leave the White House through constitutional means. In the meantime, in Iraq, a majority of 32 Wisconsin towns have voted in popular referendums on the Iraq War to bring the troops home. So there is some growing dissent in this country against this this man in the White House. And, of course, we turn to our friends in Israel. We cannot let the Israelis go. I told you here on this show, and I think it was a national exclusive, although I took it from the back pages of a small circulation magazine called Homeland Security Today, but it turns out there's been a hearing. I pointed out that an Israeli government, a company owned in part by the Israeli government, Magal, M-A-G-A-L, is guarding American nuclear facilities. Well, now, New York Times reports today that there was a House committee hearing on the question of who has the responsibility for defending nuclear plants. And they brought in industry witnesses and so forth. Now, I haven't read the transcripts of the hearings, but I'm willing to make a guess that no one raised the concern about the Israelis having a hand in quote-unquote securing our plants. What is interesting, though, is that one of the witnesses said that the nuclear industry is in close touch with the nation's Air Defense Command, and if warned of a possible attack, could quickly take steps to lessen the impact of an attack, such as the air attacks on 9-1-1. Well, that's very interesting, folks, because if they're in close touch with the nation's Air Defense Command, I want to know why the people at the Pentagon weren't in close touch with our nation's Air Defense Command and weren't able to stop the attack on the Pentagon. Now, we could talk for an hour about that. We could talk for 5 hours about that. We could talk for 20 hours about that, but it's these little kind of things, folks, that you find buried in the press that should really cause a lot of Americans to say, hey, what the hell is going on here? So although the nuclear plants say they're in close touch, our own Pentagon was not in close touch. And of that alone, that one little detail right there tells you right off the bat that the whole 9-1-1 story is just a big damned lie, and that there's a lot of people in our government who are responsible for the murder of thousands of Americans. Folks, we got some real problems here. Now, you know, we've been talking here on this show about redistributing the wealth. As people said, it's not really redistributing the wealth in this country. It's taking back the wealth that's been taken from us. And guess what? Well, you're going to have to wait till after the break to find out, guess what? This is Michael Collins Piper, ranting and raving from here in Washington, D.C., on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we are going to get around to the callers. We're going to bring Myron from Georgia up first. So, Myron, be patient.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper coming back to you from my little home here in Washington, D.C., within spitting distance of a lot of members of Congress. In fact, a member of Congress lives next door to me, although that member of Congress is never home because I think it's kind of a scam. I don't know exactly what they've got going there, but I could spit on that member of Congress if that person ever decided to come home, quote-unquote, to their home here on Capitol Hill. Well, before the break, ladies and gentlemen, I was complaining, not unusually, about the fact that our tax dollars are being used to finance the intrigues of these international bankers and these corporate robbers. You know, it's interesting. Now, I don't necessarily consider the New York Times a reliable source, but it presents some real facts every once in a while. And I'm gonna tell you what they said today, and it ties into what we've been talking about taking the money back from these super-rich elitists who are driving this country into the ground. The New York Times says today that a study shows that the tax burden on the richest Americans, that President Bush's tax cuts for the richest Americans have reduced their burden. They've reduced taxes on incomes of more than $10 million by an average of about $500,000. Well, it's a very long article, folks, and I'm no economist, so, you know, I'm hardly the one to comment on it. I'm just telling you what they're saying. They say that these taxpayers whose average income was $26 million, a lot of money, paid about the same share of their income in income taxes as those making $200,000 to $500,000. Big gains for the wealthiest are seen from tax cuts on investment income. This is in the New York Times today. It says, even the merely rich, making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, are falling behind the very wealthiest, particularly because another provision, the alternative minimum tax, now costs many of them thousands and even tens of thousands of dollars a year in lost deductions. What is going on in our country, ladies and gentlemen? My God. Absolutely amazing. And here we have the Washington Post today, an interesting commentary from Elliot Cohen. He's a professor at Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. He's one of these pro-Israel neoconservatives, and he's bashing this report by the two professors, the one from the University of Chicago and the one from Harvard, who have condemned the Israeli lobby, to their credit, I might add. Well, Mr. Cohen is quick to rush to tell us that he says, I'm a public intellectual and a proud Jew, sympathetic to Israel, and extensively engaged in our nation's military affairs. He says, in a week, my family will celebrate Passover with my eldest son, the third generation to serve as an officer in the United States Army, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, I'm glad he put his son in the United States Army, but I know the fact is that most of these leading neoconservatives themselves never served in the United States Army, and yet they're the ones who are most prepared to send all of these American kids of all races, creeds, and colors to fight in this insane war in Iraq. And now they want a war in Iran. And yes, they do, folks. In this commentary by Mr. Cohen, he says, this is very interesting, he says that these guys, Mearsheimer and Walt, conceive of the Israeli lobby being a conspiracy between the Washington Times and the New York Times, the Democratic-leaning Brookings Institution and the Republican-leaning American Enterprise Institute, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's trying to make these guys sound foolish, folks, by saying that, well, both liberals and conservatives support Israel. Well, no one doubts that, folks, and that is just proof positive of the power of the Israeli lobby and the massive funding that they have and the fact that they do influence papers like the Washington Times and the New York Times. But here's the real kicker. This writer, Mr. Cohen, goes on to say that the Harvard professor and his colleague, they dwell on public figures with Jewish names. And then he goes on to say they never ask why a Senator John McCain has declared himself a friend of Israel. Well, okay, that's a real clever line saying, okay, John McCain's not a Jew, and therefore this proves that everybody supports Israel. Well, folks, as I've told you a number of times here on the air, and as I've written in detail in my book, The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America, John McCain's family fortune, this liquor fortune, it's a beer fortune, I should say, this beer fortune of Mr. McCain and his wife's family came through the patronage of the organized crime boss who ran the state of Arizona for many, many years, a guy named Kemper Marley. McCain's father-in-law took the rap and went to jail on behalf of Kemper Marley. And guess who McCain's father-in-law's attorney was? A guy by the name of William Rehnquist, who later became Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. In other words, folks, our Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court was a mob lawyer. And the mob that he was representing, the mob figure he was representing, Kemper Marley, guess what? Kemper Marley was a front man for the Bronfman family of Canada. Edgar Bronfman and his father, Samuel Bronfman, they've been presidents of the World Jewish Congress. So if you want to know why John McCain is loyal to Israel, it's because he's worth a couple $100 million. And he got to be worth a couple $100 million through the patronage of the Bronfman family, one of the biggest Zionist families on the face of the planet. We're talking hard facts here, folks. We're not talking opinion. We're talking facts. So if you want to know why John McCain is pro-Israel, it's not because he loves dear little Israel. It's because he's bought and paid for. Bought and paid for by this Israeli lobby that these people say doesn't exist. Amazing. Well, you know, I've been talking for about 40 minutes straight here, and I'm going to let some of you talk because you've been very patient waiting, and I want to bring up Myron from Georgia. Myron, thanks for your patience.
How you doing this evening, Mr. Piper?
How you doing?
All right, I'm really truly enjoying this broadcast.
Okay.
Very eye-opening.
Well, I try to bring out little facts and little details that you might not see, or if you do see them, you might not pick up on them.
Right. I definitely see it.
Okay.
I heard you mention a couple of things by Pat Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pat Robertson, he's just another apostate, Mr. Piper.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, he has a room in the Tower of Babel, okay? You know, so Pat Robertson, he's just another religious crony for the globalists, that's all.
Yeah, he's been set up. He's been propped up from the very beginning. You know, here's a guy who's big and gung-ho on the war in Iraq, but, you know, he skipped out on combat in the Korean War.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just says a lot about, I mean, he got his father, who was a United States senator, to get him transferred so that he wouldn't be on the front line. So, hey, that tells me everything I need to know about Pat Robertson.
Yeah, me too. I don't listen to him. He's a false prophet.
Yeah, I think, but when it comes to Pat Robertson, I think it's Profit is really applicable to him. He's
okay.
A very rich man.
Oh, yes.
Very rich man.
Mr. Pipe, I have a question.
Yeah.
I'd like to force to digress for a minute. Back to the year of 1948, where I like to call the year of deceit pertaining to so-called Israel.
Okay.
Sir, is it true that the Jewish financiers gave President Truman money as far as to help, as far as him going to the UN and helping create the so-called nation state of Israel? Is it true that Mr. Truman took a bribe?
Well, I tell you what, there's no question. This is you ask a very interesting point, which I think will provide you with a very interesting answer.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it is true that Jewish financiers here in the United States provided, I think, anywhere from between $200,000 to $500,000 to the Truman campaign for his reelection, for his election bid in 1948.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, you can construe that as a bribe. It's certainly political money. But what's very, very interesting, though, is that in 1948, even though they did give this money to Harry Truman, I just came across these details in some research for my new book. It turns out that primarily the Jewish interests in the United States wanted to get rid of Harry Truman.
Okay.
I don't mean they wanted to kill him, but they wanted to get him out of office, and they were pinning their hopes on Thomas Dewey.
Mm-hmm.
However, the reason why this is very interesting, the reason why they wanted Thomas Dewey in office was because they wanted to get another war started.
Okay.
A couple war profiteers by the name of Louis Rosenstiel and Alfred Kohlberg and a guy by the name of Bernard Baruch, who a lot of people have heard of, all war profiteers, one in the liquor business, one in the garment business, and the other guy was just a financier. They wanted to get a war started in Asia. They weren't satisfied with World War II, and they saw lots of profits ahead, and Tom Dewey was their chosen man to do it. But, of course, you know, people in power want to buy both horses in the race.
Mm-hmm.
So they did put up some money for Harry Truman, whose campaign was really hurting for money. And, of course, if Truman won, then they would have gone to him and said, hey, Harry, you know, we're the ones who came up with this money and helped you win. Well, as it did turn out, Truman did win, and Truman, in fact, did recognize the State of Israel. But, you know, what's interesting is, and I pointed out on the show one evening, Robert Donovan, an American historian, in his book about the Truman era, points out, and, you know, it's published by a mainstream publishing house, he points out that these same Jewish financiers, or I should say Jewish financiers unnamed in this case, were responsible for bribing certain delegates to the United Nations, particularly from the Latin American countries, to vote for the recognition of Israel. So in a sense, the actual United Nations recognition of Israel in the first place, the creation of Israel, was a crime in and of itself.
Yes.
Involving bribery.
Okay.
And another point about Harry Truman, and I think I've mentioned this too, I know I wrote about it in my book, Final Judgment, Margaret Truman, the daughter of President Truman, wrote in her own memoirs that the Jewish Stern Gang in Palestine in the late 1940s, and particularly in, I think, 1947 and 1948, actually sent poisoned letters to Harry Truman to try to kill him, but the letters were intercepted.
Okay.
So they were not, they didn't like Harry Truman, and of course, Harry Truman, the truth is, although everybody always hears about Harry Truman had a Jewish business partner who talked him into recognizing the State of Israel, Harry Truman was not really so enthusiastic about it. It was kind of something he did.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what he wrote. I'm going to read this to you. He wrote this in his diary on July 21st, 1947. Now, this was cited in the Washington Post on July 11th, 2003. This is Harry Truman. He says, "The Jews have no sense of proportion, nor do they have any judgment on world affairs.
Mm.
The Jews, I find, are very, very selfish.
Okay.
They care not how many Estonians, Latvians, Finns, Poles, Yugoslavs, or Greeks get murdered or mistreated as post-war displaced persons, as long as the Jews get special treatment.
Okay.
Yet when they have power, physical, financial, or political, neither Hitler nor Stalin has anything on them for cruelty or mistreatment to the underdog."
Mm-hmm.
That's Harry Truman.
Okay.
That's not Mike Piper. That's Harry Truman.
All right. Yes,
so,
sir.
So, Myron, I think I probably gave you more than you were expecting, but
yes,
I think I answered the question.
Yes, you did.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Myron. Thanks for your call.
Yes.
You know, folks, it's always good. It's always good to get an intelligent caller with an intelligent question and one that I can actually answer with some factual details. You didn't hear much of my opinion in that exposition, folks. You heard facts. 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 Remember, you heard facts, not opinions. Okay, let's go to Eugene from Ohio. Eugene, come on up.
Glad to talk to you again.
All right, good to have you calling in.
Hey, I didn't know what, there's so many things to talk about. I didn't know what to say until you mentioned Iraq, and it made me think. A couple years ago, I was standing in a Barnes & Noble store to get a cup of coffee, and a lady started a conversation with me and mentioned her mother was from Panama. So I asked her if it was true, the things that we had heard in the newspapers and news media about the invasion of Panama and what really happened, and she said no. She said we did not hear the truth, that they did a lot of killing and destruction, like they had a deliberate plan when we invaded. She said they killed thousands of people and destroyed tremendous amounts of property.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, the whole situation with Panama, a very, very dear old friend of mine who died, I think it was like the very week after we invaded Panama, was Captain Miles P. Duval, Jr., and he was commander of the Port of Balboa in Panama during World War II, and he's the author of the original 20th century authoritative history of the Panama Canal, and in those days, I followed that issue very, very carefully, what was going on down there as a consequence of my friendship with old Captain Duval. And, the whole situation in Panama with the various turnovers in government down there and the story of Mr. Noriega is a very, very interesting story. And, of course, you know, what's not known, I shouldn't say what's not known. What is known is that Noriega was, on the payroll of the CIA. But during that same time frame, his chief advisor was a shadowy Israeli Mossad operative named Michael Harari, who was basically, he was the man who was in charge of all the arms trading and the drug running and the money laundering and all sorts of fancy footwork that was going on in Panama during the years of Mr. Noriega. So, you know, there's another case where there's this, this unseen Israeli hand at work down there. And this case is another instance where I don't know if we'll ever know the whole story. I do know that a friend of mine, an acquaintance of mine, was contracted to write a book on what really happened in Panama. But her co-author slipped in and apparently rewrote the book and took the book. book from her and got it published, and all the information, the inside information about the CIA and the Mossad suddenly didn't appear in the published version of the book. So maybe we'll have her on the show one evening and let her talk about that.
Yeah, you know, one other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, Bush makes all these comments about the soldiers sacrificing and fighting for freedom, but when they come home, what are they coming home to? Just in the 3 years, tremendous amounts of industry and jobs have left for this country.
That's right, exactly.
And look at the GM and Ford, and there's other companies that I can't even remember. There's so many that are laying off thousands and tens of thousands of people, and it's terrible what Bush and the politicians tell us they're fighting for.
Eugene, listen, I want to thank you for your call, and I'll just say this. These crooked politicians and their handlers are going to pay a mighty price.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, bye. Thanks for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, we only have a few minutes left, but we're going to squeeze up these final two callers, Mike and Gene.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Okay, this is Michael Collins Piper. We're wrapping up another hour here on RBNLive.com and on shortwave at 5.050. We have two callers, and I want to try to squeeze them both in. We have Gene from Texas. Gene, what's up? Gene from Texas, are you there?
Hear me?
Well, are you there, Gene?
Yes.
Okay, what do you have to say?
Oh, I want to say that in 1948, the Israelis were
losing the war against the Palestinians when they invaded them in April 1948. And Ben-Gurion, who was their leader, sent a plea to Harry Truman to recognize Israeli, and at the last minute he did, and also sent them weapons, which caused them to be able to defeat the Arabs. It was not God who gave that country to them. It was Harry Truman who did, and they are not the regathering of Israel over there. They are not the fulfillment of Israel in the Bible over there, and that's a fact. That's not an opinion.
That's right. You're right about that, Gene.
So anyway, I just want to let your listeners know that it was Harry Truman that gave that caused the Israelis to win that war against the Palestinians, the Arabs, and they took 50% more of the land from the Palestinian Arabs in that war than was granted them by the United Nations resolution.
Gene, I tell you what, sometime we're going to have somebody on, a real expert on the history of that period, and I know we're going to hear the same things that you had to say, but I'll just conclude it by saying that I can understand now why some people call Israel Israel.
Or Israeli.
Or Israeli, right. Gene, thanks for your call. Right. Let's go to Mike from Maryland. Mike?
Hey, Joe. About 4 years ago, when I first started listening to Alex Jones, you know, and before I really, you know, well, I didn't, you know, agreed with the truth movement, he said that 90% of the terrorism across the world was government-sponsored. And he mentioned how the British government was responsible for most of the terrorism in Great Britain and blame it on the IRA. And I said, no.
That's correct. In fact, a lot of that terrorism that has been attributed to the IRA was, in fact, orchestrated by the British themselves. That's true.
And I said, no, that's crazy. And then 3 months later, front page, Washington Times, below the fold, Operation State Knife, convicted in the British courts of British MI6 double agents for kneecapping people and setting off bombs in Britain.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that goes back to the Baader-Meinhof gang, and the and Germany was government sponsored, and the Italian terrorism in the 70s.
Well, like I pointed out on this show, an Italian investigation found that the Mossad was funding a lot of that terrorism in Italy to destabilize Italy and make it look more unstable in comparison to Israel, and therefore give Israel a better image. And that was reported by Dr. Alfred Lilienthal, a very outspoken anti-Zionist Jewish writer who's an old friend of mine. So, Mike, you're right on target there. You've obviously been doing your reading.
Yeah, a little bit. And as far as people like Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, you know, it's really something to behold, to see the great apostasy at work. When you see Pat Robertson on the cover of Time magazine with his hand pressed firmly against his chest and the claw grip that is notorious in the satanically inspired Freemasons.
Well, you know what, Mike? I'll tell you what. If there is a hell, I do know one thing. Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and Tim LaHaye are going to end up there.
Well, you want to get Tex Mars' book?
I have Tex Mars' book. I was just on his show the other day, Mike. Listen, we've got to go. The hour is up. Thank you for your call. Thanks to everybody who called in tonight. This is Michael Collins Piper. Be coming back to you tomorrow night, and we'll probably have Tom White from the America First Party on board. So stay tuned now for lots more good programming here on RBN.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.